fifth must of believers, and a little bit different than the other ones. This is a must that develops because of our own foolishness at times, if you will. So our key verse is verse 10 from Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And it is a movement off of verse 9 where it says, "Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." The book of Ecclesiastes is an interesting book, to say the least. We think to ourselves that if I just had an abundance of money, life would be fairly easy. We even convince ourselves that that's true. And I remember reading recently, either this week or last week, about lottery winners who maybe it wasn't a whole lot compared to the couple hundred million or so on that we've seen some really big lotteries that have been won here in the States. But I think they're mostly in England, and they were maybe less than a million, maybe a million, even as high as $17 million. And it talked about how these people squandered that money. Some of them were homeless. I mean, they had all this money. They just spent it left and right, one thing or another, led to the divorces. So that which was supposed to be a cure-all became a curse. Isn't that amazing? And so we think to ourselves, if I just had that abundance. Well, this is a book written by a man who had more money than he could think of ways to spend it. Wouldn't he say, "I'd love to have that problem"? Probably not. But he had more money than he could think of ways to spend it to find happiness and purpose to life. The recurring word in this book is the word vanity, which appears 28 times in 12 chapters and simply means empty. Do you think he's trying to get a point across? Well, this king left no stone unturned, no experience untouched, no desire unfulfilled, no material thing unowned. He had it all except what money and power could not buy. That being a close and intimate walk with God. After having wasted, in today's terms, probably would have been in the billions, if not maybe the low trillions, to find whatever it is that he was looking for that he didn't think he could find in a walk and a relationship with God. And as you look to the end in chapter 12, he comes to something that should have been obvious. It says there in verse 13, after everything he has said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All the money and all the time and all the resources that I have spent and I have used, he came to this conclusion. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why cannot we take the word as the word and accept it for what it is? Solomon discovered after a number of years and amounts of money that if we were to, as a group, combine a lifetime of earnings, wouldn't even come close to what Solomon spent in an endeavor to experience life apart from God. And he came up empty, just like anyone will sooner or later come up empty when you try to live a life separate and independent from God. Solomon paid dearly for his carnality. And the worst part is one cannot go back and redo the lost years, the lost days, the lost weeks, the lost money, the wasted years, all the money in the world, all the regrets can't turn the clock back. Time and money have this much in common. Once it is spent, it is spent. You say, "Well, preacher, we have returns." If you had spent it wisely in the first place, you wouldn't have to worry about the return. But when you spend time, there are no returns. You can redeem what is before you, but you cannot go back and regather yesteryear. And so One of the lessons that Solomon shares is still applicable to life as it has always been. So in time, verse 10, once again, of chapter 10. Turn just a minute. If the iron be blunt, and you do not whet the edge. Now, for you young people who have not been around a farm before, that means sharpening the scythe or sharpening the sickle or maybe even sharpening the shovel. I'll get it. And a suckle is kind of like a shovel and a sickle all together. I don't know if you can. I guess we can make up new words. This is not 2019. I guess you can do that. But anyway, I can remember in my grandfathers and my great grandmothers and places over that in the old days, and you go out there and you find these big scythes, and we'd think it was a neat thing to go out there in my grandfather's field out there and kind of get that thing to going. And I tell you what, nowadays if it doesn't have a motor, I don't even want to touch it. So, it was a file that was used or a honing stone that was used to sharpen the device so that you wouldn't have to work as hard. And so basically that's what we're looking at this morning, is the idea of a saying you are very familiar with, I'm sure, that we ought to work smarter, not harder. Now, we need to work hard, but in the same process, you can work foolishly. You can work hard and do it smarter. Amen? Well, Father, we pray that you'll guide and direct as we look at the message this morning. Lord, so many of us have misplaced energy. Lord, spinning our wheels. Lord, it's like life in a rocking chair. There's action, but there's no progress being made. So, Father, guide us and direct us as we look to the message and the challenge from Solomon. Lord, the wisest man that ever lived, who had a foolish binge in his life, in which, Lord, he came to the conclusion that we are to fear you. Lord, may we this morning be challenged and encouraged and strengthened. Lord, may it be that if there's one who does not know Christ in the sound of our voice, whether here or at home, that does not know you as their own personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the day that they would turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for the believers who are here this morning, and Lord, it just seems like sometimes life is just so aggravating, and yet, Lord, we realize sometimes that we are our own worst enemy. So, Father, please guide and direct in this invitation time that you might receive all the honor and all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 10 begins, if the iron be blunt. If you have ever tried to split wood or chop down a tree with a dull axe, you'll have a better understanding of what this verse is all about. And a lot of our young people, they've seen an axe, but they don't know necessarily how to use an axe. And if you're like any of us who are maybe 40 and older, you hope you don't have to see an axe. Now they have wood splitters and so on. But there was a day when you had an axe and a wedge. And you'd go out there and you'd tackle a pile of wood and you'd put out the old axe and you'd start whacking away. Well, I was young enough, so it wasn't really a lot of work for me to do other than carry it and chuck it in the cellar window and stack it downstairs in the basement. Or maybe if you've gone out into the woods with the idea that this is going to be kind of cool to chop down a tree. Have you tried to chop down a tree with a dull axe? Well, the wife and I were watching a sports show of which the competition was chopping wood. And the last thing you want in such competition is a dull axe. I mean, they're standing on these, I don't know what, 12-inch logs, and they have to see who can chop through that log the quickest. Now, you know that those axes are about as sharp as you can get. And I think to myself, if they ever miss, they're going to lose a leg just that quick. In fact, it seemed the edges were well-honed. And when swung, they would bite into that log almost like butter. Again, I would cringe to think what would happen if they missed and hit a log. But as a young person, I would go into my grandfather's shed and pick up an axe and say, I'm going to go out in the woods and I'm going to try to bring down a tree. And of course, I never paid attention. I just figured, hey, an axe is an axe, whether it has a good blade or it doesn't have a good edge on it. But it was always dull, and With each swing, it would just barely make a dent, let alone a cut. I used more energy, figured, well, maybe I have to hit a little bit harder to only barely do a little bit more. I'd tire, give up, throw the axe down. It was just too much work for so little results. The duller the axe, the harder the work, amen?
Yes.
And I'm sure that we have heard the adage, work smarter, not harder, as I said earlier. And folks, there are many tasks that lie before us in which we have a clear-cut choice of whether or not we are going to make life harder than is necessary and have to put more physical, more emotional, and more spiritual strength into the effort than we would if we were simply get into God's Word, pay attention, heed the Word of God. And let me tell you right now that this Bible that we hold in our hands is about making our lives easier, not harder. Amen? Amen. Young people, I pray that you grasp this, that this book is not about making your life harder, but making your life easier. Hard things are going to come. Difficult things are going to come in life. And we only exacerbate them when we're not prepared and when we're not ready. So, the idea is that the Bible is about making our lives easier and not harder. About making life's challenges manageable and not impossible. About making adversity a place of spiritual growth rather than a crisis. So, how we come out the other end of these things is going to depend on how we have prepared ourselves before we go into it. Amen? See, you and I have no idea what tomorrow holds. Now, I know what Tuesday holds. It's my wife's birthday, and I'm going to have to get busy on Monday to make sure she has a good birthday on Tuesday. Now, I could wait till Tuesday morning and get behind the eight ball. And, you know, I'm just kidding. But the idea is that many times as parents, and I've seen this, and I'm guilty of it as well, and that we wait until we're in the midst of a crisis, and then it's, preacher, come help us, because we're in the midst over here. We don't know how to handle it, and our kids have done this, and our kids have done that. What are we going to do? Now, it's not wrong to call a preacher, but it is wrong when we wait till the crisis comes to try to get behind or get ahead of it. Most of the time, we parent or we live life behind the proverbial eight ball. So, Dr. J.E. Adams, in his book, What to Do on Thursday, it's an interesting book. Not a very big book. He doesn't use the right translation, but I think he did it one time. He's a Reformed Presbyterian, I believe. But a few of the things he had to say in there were really well worth noting. And it's a book to help counselors, help counsel others from the Word of God. And in the book, he says, if you're going to counsel others from the Bible, you have to know something about the Bible. Doesn't sound that difficult. And yet, how many times do we as Christians try to counsel, and we have no idea what the Bible really has to say? And we have no idea where to turn in the Scriptures to find what it is that we want to say. And that really is basically the premise of the book, is to understand the overall Bible. Not just those little places where we like to read or we like to sit down and study because that's more appealing to us. It's the idea of knowing what is the purpose of the first five books of the Bible? What's the purpose of the historical books of the Bible? What's the purpose of the majors and the minors? Or what's the difference between the Gospels, and what's the difference between the prison epistles and so on? What function do they, if you don't even understand those, how are you going to turn to those books to know how to help someone? So, we find ourselves maybe in a place of adversity. Maybe it's even reached the stage of a crisis in our lives. And we're not prepared for it. We don't know where to turn. We don't know where to look for answers. We assume that the preacher does. But wouldn't it be so much better if you were the one who are able to deal with any adversity in your home, your family, your marriages, or in your children's lives? So then also applies to any of us If we won't take the time to know the Word of God, then we won't have the tools to make the Christian life function as God intended. That's pretty critical. Now, I didn't join the Boy Scouts. I joined the Cub Scouts. I think I lasted about a month. And, of course, when you join the military, you've got to stay there. You just can't walk away from that. You've got to stay there for 4 years. But the point is that they give you a manual of expectations and tools that will help you. Now, if you stay in the Cub Scouts long enough and the Boy Scouts long enough, they teach you how to survive in the wilderness, and how to do a lot of different things, how to just even do domestic things as well. But it's the idea, it's there to prepare you for an eventuality. And the Bible not only is about today or what happened yesterday and about today, but it's also about the eventualities that are coming into our lives. You don't know what eventualities. Today you may be hitting on all 8 cylinders. Tomorrow you may be on 6. And so we got to be prepared for that day, for that eventuality. So when it comes to living the Christian life while being ignorant of God's purposes and God's plan, then I'll have to put more of my strength into living only to come up short anyway. So God has a very unique way of dealing with adversity. God has a very unique formula for working with adversity when it comes into our lives or difficult situations. Believe me, He does have answers, amen. But if I'm not going to go to the Word of God and I'm going to ignore the Word of God when I find myself in the midst of those things there, I'm going to have to work just that much harder to try to figure out what went wrong. Now what am I going to do with what went wrong, rather than be able to get along with God and get along with the Word of God and have God point me in the direction so that I can do that well in advance. Now, a dullness of hearing is sure to cause problems in a marriage, amen? If we're not going to listen, it's going to cause problems. Whether it's the same thing in parenting. If we're not going to listen, then, hey, dullness of hearing is going to cause problems. And in families as well, we find ourselves struggling with issues that drain us emotionally and drain us spiritually when that should never have been the case. If God is who He says He is, and He is all-knowing, and He certainly is that, then He has a way of living our lives so that our lives are not in a constant state of struggle. I don't know about you, but I don't like struggle. I don't even like to exercise because that's a struggle. I should. But this dullness of hearing is sure to cause problems in marriages and in families, and we find ourselves struggling with issues. And Paul, speaking to the Jews of his day, addressed a desire for some deeper truths that would have been beneficial, but he says he could not, and here's why. If we turn to, just hold your finger there, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Now, folks, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, we want to go back and have that New Testament church. You know what, folks? They had struggles that you and I should not have to have today. And we can certainly learn and glean from them. Amen? And so, Paul is speaking to, if you believe he is the one who authored the book of Hebrews, or at least penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wants to bring out some truths about Melchizedek, which you can read about in the book of Genesis. Abraham had a meeting with Melchizedek, and Melchizedek had a meeting with Abraham in the Old Testament. And Abraham was coming back from a battle, which he was victorious. God gave him the victory. And King of Salem, or as they would call him, Melchizedek, he met him there, and he brings it up here. And he said, I've got a lot of things I want to tell you about Melchizedek. And he says there in chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Do you find it sometimes rather difficult to talk to your children about certain things? It seems like you're talking to them and they're starry-eyed like, And you're trying to find words to explain, to find words that would help them to understand. I mean, you can't talk to a 5-year-old like you're talking to a 15-year-old. And you can't talk to a one-year-old like you talk to a five-year-old. They don't quite understand it. I try to talk to Sam, our dog's once in a while, and he just kind of goes, like, yeah, I know you're saying something, but I don't even get a thing you're saying. Not a clue. And so here's the Apostle Paul wanting to address the people, his children of God. He's saying, listen, I've got some stuff that's so important. Things that will make a difference in your life. He said, but listen, I don't even know how to explain it to you because you're dull of hearing. Your ears are not in the place where they can receive and understand or comprehend. So he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And God says the same thing. He said, I've got things I want to tell you. I got things I want you to learn. You're just not paying attention. God has so many wonderful, wonderful, powerful truths, words of wisdom in his word. He wants us to know them. He wants us to become aware and know where they are. So that as we face the issues of this life, and you're going to face issues, some that right now you can't even imagine that you're going to be facing somewhere down the road. But as we face the issues of this life, the responsibilities that we face daily, that we'll find the right way rather than having to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. It's like swinging a dull axe. You're going to have to keep swinging at the same place again and again and again. Whereas a sharp axe, you can make a hack this way and maybe an undercut this way and another one, and the chip falls out. But we keep going through life making the same foolish mistakes over and over and over again because we don't know the way out. It's like being lost in the woods. I know my way out here, and eventually begin to realize I have been walking around in circles now for hours. Which brings us to the second and the great truth of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. Wisdom. Wisdom, that wonderful, wonderful word, wisdom. Wisdom is about the proper use and understanding of how to use knowledge. And in chapter 10 and verse 10, the last part, it says, but wisdom is profitable to do what? To direct. How many mistakes have you made in the past that you'd like to be able to go back and revisit? And do so with godly wisdom. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to take what you've learned in your walk with God and take it way back to whenever it was and to reface that issue again? It was one of the more valuable classes I think we had back in Bible college when Dr. Wallace invited a number of the area pastors that were in the area. And they came in and to us preacher boys and they said, we're going to share, without names, an incident that we had to deal with as pastors in the ministry back when and how we do it today. Don't you wish that you could go back and revisit those times? Well, Solomon is being clear here. I've been trying to live life my way, he says. And as surely as a blunt axe chopping wood, I have had to expend more strength to accomplish less. I mean, yeah, you say, well, it looks like he accomplished a whole lot. Yeah, but it didn't really amount to a hill of beans. Because he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. The simplicity of simply fearing God. Or revering God, if you will. So, he says, wisdom is profitable to direct. Do you think that you have being a husband or a dad down pat? Do you think that you have being a wife or a mother down pat? Do you have parenting honed to a fine art? How about living the life that God has purposed for you to live? Have you got it down pat? Do you have it completely under control? How about finances? How about your daily walk? And how about your witness? Have you get it all figured out? Do you realize this morning that God does? God has it all down pat. He knows the kind of husband he wants you to be. He knows the kind of mom he wants you to be. He knows the kind of children he wants you to be. He knows the kind of church parishioner he wants you to be. He knows the kind of Christian he wants you to be. He knows the kind of businessman he wants you to be. He knows how he wants you to run your business. He knows all this. And so Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, trusting in the Lord, that's where we get wisdom. Oh God, this doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And God says, don't worry about it. It does to me. And sometimes we have to settle for that. It makes perfect sense to God, whether it makes sense to you and me or not. You see, because we're looking at the moment. God's looking at that tomorrow, and that next week, and the next month, and the next year. God's looking down the road. How many of us really look for that far down the road? Now, we may financially, because we realize, okay, someday we're going to retire. And someday we're going to try to, at least during now, make time. And you're encouraged to do that, especially through employers and so on. But life in general, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not just what you want Him to control and what you want to control, but trust Him with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Because, my friend, you do not know about tomorrow. You can plan all you want to, and tomorrow may find you in heaven. If you're not saved, it's going to find you in a place called hell. Part A of verse 10 is about working smarter. That is in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Working smarter is trusting in the Lord. Not because you know about my tomorrows. I'm going to trust you to give me what I need today to prepare me for tomorrow. Part B of Proverbs 3:5 is about working harder, leaning to our own understanding. Since you don't know what God wants for you to do tomorrow, you may have to find yourself doing it again, or again and again and again. Listen, moms and dads, how many times do you have to deal with your children's disrespect or their aberrant behavior? If it's day to day, again and again and again and again and again and again, and it's again and again and again, and now here they are, they're approaching teenage years, again and again and again, now you're in your teen years, and it's again and again and again and again. Something went wrong somewhere. You didn't work smarter, you just ended up working harder. It's more difficult. It's the same thing whether it's at work. And here's the kicker of putting more of our own strength into dealing with everyday issues. We don't have to. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to. And yet we do it again and again and again. If Solomon has concluded that improperly prepared tools create more work while wisdom is profitable to direct, then the half-brother of Christ, inspired of the Holy Spirit, writes similarly in his epistle of James chapter 1 and verse 5, where he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. When we are in God's purposes for our lives, God will give us the wisdom that is necessary to keep us within the boundaries of that purpose, on the straight and the narrow. So if any of you lack wisdom, we don't have all the answers, but God does. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we'll realize that we need Him. You can figure it out, but your figuring it out may not be God's way, and it may cost you more work, more heartache, more difficulty. Now, the reason simply is that life is hard to begin with, and God wants to take out of life that hardness and give us the wisdom to cut through all that hardness. So that when we're finding the adversity is hard to deal with, the Word of God will help us to cut through it that much quicker. Folks, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Anything outside the realm of God's wisdom is the futile exercise of using a dull axe, and tapping into God's wisdom, which is for the asking, is like sharpening a dull axe to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished so much easier in that process. The Word of God is saturated with godly wisdom. It's saturated with it. It's dripping with it, if you will. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The Hebrew word in Ecclesiastes 10:10 for wisdom covers wisdom in administration. So if you have leadership, ask God to give you the wisdom that you need for the position of leadership, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in the home. Wisdom also in religious affairs, in your walk of faith with God, is wisdom in ethical matters. Listen, you and I have no problem understanding the egregiousness and the heinousness and the wickedness of the abortion bills that are being proffered before us. We understand that. I'm telling you right now, these people just aren't very ethical. In a biblical, scriptural manner, they're not ethical. Life doesn't matter to them. But it also has to do with skill in warfare. We're in a warfare, amen? All you have to do is read the prison epistles or to read the epistles that deal with the church life. We need the wisdom of God to deal with the warfare, and if you are a child of God, you are in a spiritual warfare. And the question is, how are you going to fare in that warfare? Lord, help us to realize that we are struggling in things that we ought not to be struggling in. Like the foolish axeman who is using a dull axe. We hack away at life, and it seems like we're expending so much energy, and the results are so minimal. Let's turn it around. Let's wet the edges. Let's get into the Word of God. Learn what is what and where what is so that we can use it not only in our own lives, but to strengthen and encourage others along the way. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. Lord, this is one of the fifth musts of a believer. Lord, if we're going to be foolish, then we realize that we're going to have to work harder. But if we will be wise, then Lord, we can minimize the energy expended to deal with the things that we're going to deal with in this life. Lord, I don't know what's going on in the hearts of the lives of people at home in this area or here in the sanctuary. But Lord, I'm convinced that to some degree it's germane in all of our lives. We're all dealing with some aspect of this, and we need to be reminded that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ways are the ways of death. Lord, may we understand the need to really prepare for that day of adversity that is sure to come in one way or another. It could be health issues, financial issues. It could be relational issues. It could be any number of things. But Lord, won't you guide and direct in this invitation time to have your perfect way. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As Diane quietly plays on the piano. Child of God, this morning, how much do you really know about the Word of God? You may be able to name all the books of the Bible. You may even be able to spell all the names of the books of the Bible. And you may know half a dozen verses or so. But the real question this morning before us is this. Do you know where to turn to find the help that you need? Or there may be someone who has come to you for counsel needs. Do you know where to go? If not, why not? We should. Don't count on just the pastor. I may not always be around. I may not be where you need me. And then you better hope that I know. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? God has touched my heart about my need to understand His Word better so that I could become a better child of God, a more usable, a more utilitarian, a Christian for God's service. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing? Yes. Hands are here and hands are there. Young people, listen, there's a lot of young people out there in this world today who, I'm going to tell you right now, they don't know one end from another. They're looking at these free government handouts. Wow! They're actually proposing the fact that if I don't want to work, I'm still going to get a salary. Don't count on it. I can tell you right now, God's dead set against it. And if we keep pushing the envelope, Contrary to God, God's going to have to step in here and do some very serious, serious counseling. But young people, you've got the answers for your friends right at your fingertips. Please don't fail them. And in the same process, fail the Lord. Preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Pray for me this morning. It may be this morning, same preacher. I don't even know if I've got a home in heaven. My dear friends, and you will always be working with a dull axe. Won't you come to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ, whether here this today in the sanctuary or at home? It's like hacking at life with a dull axe. The Lord wants to guide you. He wants to direct you in His purposes for your life. The first step is to come to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. If you do that this morning, God will hear you, God will save you, and you can begin that walk of God's purpose for your life. And you can find yourself starting to work smarter, not harder, about life. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together, again gathered around your word. Lord, sometimes it's just a simple verse we've read many, many times that all of a sudden it just pops out. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that draws our attention to these portions of Scripture that is so vital. Simple in their setting, yet so vital to the success of our Christian lives. Lord, be with all who raise their hands that, Lord, we would become able and ready counselors because we know where to turn. Or we can get there very quickly. But so that, Lord, we may be true ambassadors from your kingdom into a world of darkness, carrying the light of the gospel, that the world may see their exceedingly sinful natures and turn from them to Christ. Father, won't you guide and direct, dismissing us now with thy blessings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.